Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, it was just yesterday we were wondering if we'd get to split the $20 million salary over at the Fox News Channel for the 9 o'clock slot. Apparently not going to happen. Tucker Carlson's been moved to 9 o'clock. Good for him. He's had very good ratings since taking over the 7 o'clock slot. But he's also featured here in our first good martini, or only good martini for the day. He was speaking with Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton. They were talking about the sanctions that President Obama imposed on Russia. Cotton actually thought that should have happened a long time ago due to Russian aggression in a number of different ways that President Obama simply refused to respond to, including Ukraine and other areas over the past 8 years. But then Carlson wanted to know whether the sanctions were a good idea, given the fact that we are apparently allies with the Russians when it comes to stopping radical Islam. And Cotton was having none of it.
Aren't we basically on the same side as the Russians on the question of Islamic terror? It doesn't mean ignoring or excusing their awful behavior, but doesn't that outweigh that behavior?
Well, Tucker, I wish it were so, but if you look at what Russia has done in Syria, they've taken the fight hardly at all to the Islamic State. They fought almost entirely the Syrian opposition that was fighting against Bashar al-Assad. They haven't been bombing Raqqa, the capital of the Islamic State. They've been bombing Aleppo, which is the main opposition, was the main opposition holdout until it fell last month. It would be a good thing if Russia would work with the rest of the civilized world to counteract the threat of Islamic extremism, because they have their own Islamic extremists in the Caucasus region.
Yeah.
But they simply are not doing that in Syria. They're not doing much of it around the world either.
Excellent point that Cotton makes there, Jim, because Russia had ample opportunity to make some pretty devastating impacts against ISIS, didn't take it. And so the allegation that they're really on our side in this fight is pretty flimsy.
And we should point out, go back a little bit further, Greg, that did they help us in our efforts in Afghanistan against Al-Qaeda and against the Taliban? Yeah, they let us use, flyover rights and use a couple bases of their reasonably allied bases in the stand, countries in the stands and places like that. But all in all, it's not like they said, hey, we're going to stand with you shoulder to shoulder and we're going to hit the Taliban too. They were not a help in Iraq. They've not been a help against any of our continuing operations since then. Yes, indeed, they are fighting an Islamist insurgency and forces like that in Chechnya. Their tactics tend to be a little more heavy-handed than I think we are comfortable with in terms of civilian casualties and things like that. I think Cotton hits it just the right note here, which is that, yeah, at first glance, it may look like Russia and we have a similar enemies. It would be nice if they would give us full-fledged help against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and related groups like that. So far, history does not point to that. And so there may be opportunities here and there. Certainly, we don't want to see Chechens and violent groups like that on the prowl. We are no stranger to their victims of their violence. You think back to the Boston Marathon bombing. But all in all, you're looking whether it's Syria or other places, Russia hasn't really been that big a help against us. And I think it's safe to say that for whatever reason, Al-Qaeda and other Islamist groups have seen us as the great Satan, not as not Russia for some reason. Chechnya, obviously, for reasons of geography and historical purposes, is much more likely to be anti-Russia than some Islamist groups are. ISIS has targeted Russia in some cases, particularly after the intervention in Syria. But Russia's attitude towards Syria is they want to keep Bashar Assad running the show so they get access to the port at Tartus and various other strategic interests. So I'm not so sure. Now, I don't know if this is Tucker Carlson kind of being a devil's advocate, but I think that Tom Cotton puts it just right. We should not demonize Russia in the way that certain Democrats have because of their the convenient scapegoat of using them as a reason for why Hillary Clinton lost the election. But I don't think it does us any good to see them as any better than they are. And that means that they're probably not going to be all that useful as an ally in the war on terror, the war on ISIS, the war on Islamic extremism. And good for Cotton for pointing that out. And hopefully that will be the dominant thinking in the years to come, instead of this way too generous assessment that we tend to hear from Donald Trump too often.
Yeah, absolutely right. And of course, the Russians played a key role in Iran's construction of their nuclear program and running interference for them at the UN. So when you talk about who they're friends with and who they're not friends with, it's a pretty mixed bag. And in some cases, it's a pretty ugly bag. So on to the bad martini today, Jim. And this it comes to us courtesy of your analysis at the Morning Jolt after reading a column from Melinda Henneberger in USA Today. Basically, it focuses on the case of Dylann Roof. For those who don't remember Dylann Roof, he is the guy who in 2015 shot up the African-American church in Charleston, South Carolina, killing all but one person. During the trial, he represented himself. It's clear that he did it. It's clear that he doesn't regret it. That enough during the sentencing phase should be enough to warrant an execution, particularly since he was deemed competent to stand trial. But that's not good enough for Melinda Henneberger and others. As you point out in the Jolt, she writes things like, questions raised by the case touch on a tangle of intractable issues: race and rage, guns and mental illness, what constitutes terrorism, and what we can do about self-radicalization on the internet. Yet the racism that Roof spewed seems to have eclipsed all other considerations. As a result, many who generally agree with me that capital punishment is in all cases wrong are silent now. She also is upset that jurors won't even have to try and sort out where free will ends and compulsion begins. The judge in the case kept them from hearing the evidence of mental illness, and they will never hear it now because Roof intends to represent himself during the punishment phase of the trial. And then you also point out that Kathleen Parker is going into Roof's difficult childhood and explaining why he probably should not be put to death. Jim, I like your follow-up sentence to that. I don't care.
Yeah, you can think of me as Tom Lee Jones in The Fugitive at that moment. Look, there are certain people I have great respect for who have a blanket opposition to the death penalty in all cases and circumstances. Certainly great Catholic thinkers, folks who very much believe the state should never be involved in taking anybody's life. I respect these people. I just see the world pretty distinctly differently that way, because that means you end up in a circumstance where, well, we really shouldn't execute Osama bin Laden. We really shouldn't execute Timothy McVeigh. We really shouldn't execute, if you could go back, the old saying, if you could go back in time, never mind killing Hitler as a child. If we had somehow captured Hitler, that it would be morally wrong to kill him. And my complicated, nuanced, sophisticated response to that, Greg, is nope. No, it's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine to kill somebody like that. I don't see that. And I really get irked when people say, well, that makes us no better than them. No. Executing someone who has killed lots and lots of people is not the same of doing what any of these people did, whether it's parking a truck bomb next to a daycare center like McVeigh, or the horrors of bin Laden, Tsarnaev, who put his bomb next to a child at the Boston Marathon bombing. Or in the case of Roof, I mean, you know, he walked around executing each one of these people one by one. And this whole – I really don't like this idea of, oh, well, he might be crazy. Well, wait a second. He went around saying, I'm going to give you something to pray about. You all want something to pray about? I'll give you something to pray about. You know, Greg, that certainly seems like he understands the consequences of his actions, right? And the whole idea of the insanity plea and the idea that you're not mentally cognizant is, well, you didn't know that pulling the trigger is going to kill somebody. But in this case, I think it's pretty clear that he did, and he did it deliberately. He killed an 87-year-old church choir member. There was a 5-year-old girl in the church.